let's go ahead and get into a quick review. I'm going to get this out the way, so when we start talking about spoilery things, you ain't got to deal with it. Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking the whole time.
Exactly. Oh, there he is.
There you go.
Ha! Yeah. How you doing, partner?
I reckon I'm doing just fine.
Oh, Martin just got off the planes today.
Do all cowboys have to talk like this?
They do. They do. Real ones do, at least, partner.
Set me up with a whiskey.
Oh, and anything else you got there on the shelf?
Ah.
Martin, how you doing?
Doing okay. I got to pee real bad. Yeah. So the faster we can get through this.
Well, I'll tell you what. Go ahead and pee first, man.
You sure?
Yeah, go ahead.
What you going to do while I'm gone?
You know
talk shit. Talk shit about shit.
You know what? This is a goddamn ad. That motherfucker. You know he go to gay clubs and shit. Go pee, partner.
Wait, why is that bad?
No, it ain't bad. It ain't bad at all. Ain't bad at all.
Living your life.
He heads out in the sunset wearing that hat and nothing else. Maybe a sarsaparilla and a smile. I ain't gonna talk shit, man. I'm talking shit right now, man. I'm already getting it out of my system. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Sure.
I don't want you to be uncomfortable doing that review, man.
Okay.
Yeah, and plus, the bathroom is right there, so you'll hear me. I can't talk shit.
The hell you won't.
He's going to pee faster than ever. Right
I know.
Now.
He's like,
no, I hear them.
Let me see here.
So this is a cowboy movie starring Idris Elba.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the kid from Stranger Things.
Yeah, one of the kids from Stranger Things, yeah.
And is this fantasy? Is this like a...
No, well, yes, yeah, in a way, kind of.
I know, I mean, like, is it like a fantasy world, or is this like it's set like back in the day and he just happens to be a black cowboy?
No, it's like modern day and they just happen to have all these horses in Philadelphia, like in the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like in these tenement buildings that they've just gutted.
Yeah.
Using them as stables.
Yeah, you...
We'll explain.
You hear?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll explain. I'm just waiting on Martin to get back real quick, and we'll explain.
He's not the gunslinger. He's not, you know, going through
that's
different
realms. That's where my
realms.
Mom went.
Okay, yeah. That's what he's the cowboy.
Like, is that Stephen King shit?
That's the last Western he was in.
He's not going in the hood and, like, taking out, like, drug dealers, you know.
Is this
like
Bright, too?
He's not,
No, it's not that.
He ain't meeting drug dealers in the middle of the street at noon and shit, you know.
Yeah, okay, so, like, it's just it's modern-day Philadelphia, and he's got horses.
Yeah.
And it's Idris Elba and the Stranger Things kid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's back, yo.
All right, yeah.
Oh, is that Lucas all grown up?
Yeah, it's Lucas.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. Okay. Yeah. I was like, this kid looks familiar, but I can't quite place him.
He's got that peach fuzz on his
head. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Martin Thomas is back in town. How was it making water, partner?
You got a nice watering hole.
You know we got an outhouse out back. Oh, there he is, people.
Martin just spits on the floor.
Yeah, people, let's go ahead and get into this review. Corey Goodwin had some, questions. He says, so what is it? He says it's a black Western. He's like, so black Western in the hood. So is it like cowboys just meeting drug dealers in the middle of the street at noon? Draw, partner, you know,
it's a Western set on the East Coast.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, it is.
Fantastic.
So let me, you know what? I see you confused with this. as anybody would be.
I mean, there are drug dealers and cowboys.
So it's not too far-fetched what I'm saying. Actually, this is based not only on a true story, but a true culture out there. You can read all about this. A lot of people have been writing about this for years. But this is based on a community of riders, of horse riders in Philadelphia. In particular, I'm sure there's a lot out there, but in particular, this group is called the Fletcher Street Riders. And what they do is first of all, they have a history going way back where when you had things being replaced by automobiles and other forms of transportation, you had these guys who kept the horses around. They actually kept the horses around because you know, all up until modern times, something these guys still do today, they go out and get these horses and they form communities with them. They ride them in urban areas and they try to keep them from being killed when people look at them as being useless. Mm. And they also they're very closely tied to the history of black people as cowboys. They try to keep that history alive. They try to educate people on that. We'll get more into that in a little bit. But yeah, it's a real thing, man. So now somebody's finally telling their story with A-list stars. Idris Elba plays one of these urban cowboys, real urban cowboys who his son, you know, it's one of those stories where, his son's acting crazy and mama can't deal with his ass no more. And mama, she pulls up into town and drops his ass off in the middle of the night and says, "Scar!" I mean, she wants that kid to die.
I was like, good for her.
Yeah. Yo, yeah, no, he's a knucklehead, man.
Tired of this shit.
Yeah, he's a punk.
Yeah, you're like, this is the fourth school you've been kicked out of. I ain't do nothing. Okay, I don't need to hear no more.
No, exactly. So she said, if I can't do nothing with your ass, maybe a cowboy can. maybe
your daddy who don't give a shit daddy. About you can do something.
Yeah, maybe he can do something with your dumb ass. So they drop his ass off in the middle of the night in the hood.
I love that he starts off in Detroit and she's like, I gotta take you somewhere else. Yeah. Somewhere worse. Philadelphia.
In the middle of the night. Yeah. In the middle of Philadelphia that looks like a goddamn saloon and shit.
Even he was scared though. I love that. Like he dropped that whole tough guy. She's like, Mama!
Don't leave me in the door! Mama ain't there! Had his ass walking around with trash bags on clothes.
And was like, hey, come here.
He's like, whoa. Well, you know he's stupid when he's in the car with her like, Mom, where are we going? Why are my clothes in a...
Yeah, he's not too bright.
He's like the Grinch's dog. Yeah.
So drops his ass off in the middle of some black cowboys and said, let them do something with you. And she's hoping that maybe his father, who needs... He's a man in his life. And what better man than an actual, a real man, a cowboy... You know, needs to show him a thing or two. Get him in there to do some hard labor. Get him riding horses, and then maybe he'll get his senses together and never come back home because I don't want to deal with that shit with him no more. Let's go ahead and take a look at this trailer for Concrete Cowboy, and we'll be back with our review.
Center, all cowboys were black. Even the Lone Ranger were black.
Who's the Lone Ranger?
Harvey, you teaching this boy anything?
He was that cannibal that teamed up with Johnny Depp in that movie, right?
Yeah, the moment he said that, I was like, God damn.
You know what he did? He'd be funny if he put his clothes in a bag, put him on a horse, and dropped his ass off in Detroit. Daddy! Daddy! Get off me.
The history here is deep. You like the Wild West out here.
I woke up to the morning sky first. Baby blue, just like we rehearsed.
I know you. You Hobbs boy.
When I get up off this ground, I shall leave back
down. Your daddy got rules that you're not abiding by.
Yo, what are you doing?
You want to ride the street life? You can't be in my house. You want to wise up? You welcome back.
Welcome back to what? I ain't got no home here.
That's your choice.
That's his parenting style. Just like, listen to me, you're on the fucking streets.
No one feels sorry for this kid.
No one in this neighborhood. No one in the audience.
No. Boy, his mom packed his clothes in a trash bag because she threw his ass away. No one gives a shit about this kid at all. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's what this little bastard needs. I've
been shaded by alone out here, man. I'm gonna get my money and I'm gonna get up out of here. You with me or not, bro?
But them streets have made you a man overnight. I'm your father.
You ain't my father! I mean, you a father to everyone else out here.
Oh, you hate me, man.
I was just like him now. I don't know who they expect us to go up and be if we watching over our shoulder all our lives.
I have something for you.
Oh, look.
Like real cowboy.
Peepees believe the breaking a horse meant crushing the will of the animal. The only way you can realize its true spirit through love. It's a good day. A
good day for me. You don't have to get out to grow up. The city decide they don't need horses no more.
Y'all trying to tear this place down?
Come on, man. How you gonna do that to us? This is where we live. My sisters and my
brothers. They can't take who we are as a people.
So what we gonna do then?
We gonna do what we always do. We gonna ride.
You can see us, Caleb McLaughlin from Stranger Things in there. Got some nuts on him now, trying to be all hard.
Went
from the nerdy black kid in Stranger Things.
Wow, guys, what are we going to do next?
So now look at him.
You ain't my daddy. You ain't my father. You fathered everybody else except me.
Yeah, crying all the time, trying to be hood. Gonna make this money. You ain't gonna make shit.
You messed up my shoe.
Yeah, people. As you can see, there's a lot of derivatives in this movie right here. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of derivatives. First of all, it's one of those get out the hood stories. You know, right. Man, yeah. If I just make this dollar right here, we gonna make this money. You know, we gonna go up against the most dangerous fucking drug dealer in the neighborhood. But we just you and me.
It's one of those where, like, you know these characters are stupid because anybody could see where this is gonna go.
But that's the thing. This is it's a predictable subplot. Even though I like this actor Gerald Jerome as Smush, he's the one about to get smushed.
So intimidating. Yeah. I mean, that
Smush.
Yeah, it's a street.
That's a name. That is a street ass name.
That is a street ass name. That's also Smush. Your fate. You keep fucking around.
It's an inevitability.
Yeah, and it's the kid from the Central Park 5 story on Netflix, and also the kid from Moonlight.
Yeah.
Who's actually, look, I like that actor a lot, but as I said, man, this is a story that we've all seen.
I'm gonna get my money, and I'm gonna get up out of here.
Yeah, sure you are. Yeah, we heard that shit before. Right. You and every other fucking knucklehead.
You know that's
good. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, and it's always them pissing off some drug dealer. They're always doing the same thing, just hanging out in the house. Smoking or drinking, always got some nameless chick hanging on to him, you know.
Monologuing a little bit. Monologuing. Yeah. Has like a weird pet. In this case, it's this fish.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm feeding my fish.
That's the thing. You got to make your drug dealers philosophical.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Every single time.
They got to be laid back and philosophical. So it's more shocking when they do something.
Yeah.
You know, violent, except it's not because you expect it.
Yeah, they just hood ass Bond villains, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, wow, that's a great description.
Hood ass Bond villains, they slip them monologuing, they petting pit bulls or fish or some shit. Yeah, you know?
Just feeding my fish.
Yeah, man. You know, we've seen it. We've seen that storyline before. the very, very over familiar estranged son and father story.
I'm your father.
You ain't my father. I mean, you a father to everyone else out here.
You know, we've heard that over and over again. You ain't my father. You never been there for me. Why don't you love me?
I mean, Idris Elba, he's so estranged from his son. He's kind of estranged from the movie because he just disappears for 40 minutes and we don't see him ever.
Shit, for a movie that advertises itself as an Idris Elba movie, he's barely in it.
Yeah.
And even when he's in it, like you see that scene there, that kid, he's acting his ass off.
He really
is. Idris Elba's just like, are you done?
Yeah, you finished?
I got another movie to be on. I got to go shoot some more scenes I got to do some pickups for Suicide Squad. Yeah.
I like them more than you.
I mean,
why you like poking that man more than me?
He's funny. He's not yelling at me.
He ain't no bitch like you. Leave me alone.
I mean, I didn't dislike this movie, but it felt like it came out of a kit.
Well, yeah,
you know, I mean, the way y'all are describing it, like, I haven't seen this, but I feel like I've seen it.
Yeah.
You've seen it except without horses.
Yeah.
The horses are the new element. Oh,
that's a perfect way to describe it. And even the horse is not a new element except to, like, these hood stories because lately there's been a lot of movies where if somebody needs some therapy, their lives are fucked up, get a horse.
physical emotional therapy, connection to the animal, and then you have to take care of it. You appreciate life. That's what this does.
Always the horse. The horse is a horse is the new magical mystical Negro.
Yeah. What was that one?
That one we saw with Matthias Shaynard.
They had to break the horse and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's in prison with the horses.
Ever since people start whispering to horses, the horses have become a magical animal.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is like they show all these great stories where it's like a positive result. Like what are the ones where like these people get kicked in the head or like stomped out
or bitten?
Yeah.
Well, they have a story here where Cole is his name. Caleb McLaughlin from Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. He plays Cole. He's the son, and you know him and that horse. All of a sudden, I don't know what it is. It's almost like, Dan, did you have sex with that horse? Because what, like, he jumps in that horse's bedroom, and then they just cut to the morning where they're both asleep, and then somebody comes
the
up like,
is what? The horse
stable. It's stable. Yeah. Stable. You know, it's bedroom. Whatever the fuck it is.
Same thing. Same thing. Ain't nothing. No, because ain't nothing stable about this movie.
When you say walk over to the horse's bedroom.
Yeah, horses. No, he's in that horse's room. Yeah, pretty much like the horse's bedroom, man. Because they walk up and the horse is smoking a cigarette. And shit.
Daniel Radcliffe, he just left, so he's
out. And they're just like, they're like, damn, that horse really likes you, man.
Yeah. I mean, he expects you to be dead.
That horse hates everybody.
Except
what did you do?
It's like, what did y'all do last night? So he's, you know, it's one of those where it's like the magical bond with no explanation except that it happens.
Hey, the horse found somebody more pathetic than himself. Yeah.
But now I don't know. I think this is where we'll probably start to have different opinions here because, you know, that all those derivatives there, I was not, of course, crazy about. And I think the beginning of the movie spends a lot of time on like the hood story. It spends a lot of time on the father and son thing. But once they started to get away from that and get more into the culture of what these urban writers are about, I started to get into the movie again. I started to get more into it because I found the culture fascinating. Now, you know, I mean, this is something that is it's either going to put you out of the movie or I'll draw you in more, because what they want you to do is feel bad for these writers here, because a lot of them they're just kind of getting real cheap housing and buildings that nobody wants until, of course, you know, people start coming in and saying, we got to tear this shit down because, you know, we got to make some money off of it. Gentrification, I'm not a big fan of, but it's kind of crazy because they're not exactly the writers. They're not exactly making the best argument about keeping these properties and taking care of these horses when you walk up in the house and they got a horse in the living room.
Yo! This is Chuck. You ain't making no friends, so watch your hands.
There's a horse in your house.
Thanks, Sherlock.
Well, that's you right here.
The horse are like, yeah, go to sleep. I'll holler at you in a little bit.
I ain't staying here.
All right. Well, I'ma hit it though. So once you step out, that door stays locked till morning.
I'll leave in the morning.
Is anybody gonna talk about the horse in the living room? Because that is both ghetto and white trash as fuck.
Covered all his faces.
That's redneck and ghetto as fuck, man, at the same time.
New subculture.
As you can get, what you say?
New subculture. Yeah.
But you know, like I said, you either accept it right there, you don't, because I was like,
it's more for a comedic effect. That's what that was.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. But I don't know. Maybe some of these dudes really do have a horse in the house. Yeah. But I tell you, I found it. I find it fascinating the lifestyle they live, because the more they get into it, you see that they're fighting to not only keep property, but they're fighting to keep this culture alive. They're fighting to keep history alive, and of course they keep getting pushed out by gentrification, but. You know, when you look at it, it feels like they are very nomadic people in a way, because once that's done, they go and find another some more cheap property in order to keep these horses in. And, you know, when that part of the movie kept getting better. Because, I mean, also, I'm just a sucker for when, you know, there's two things that happen. When I learn something and when they use real people here.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, oh, Corey's all over this.
Yeah, yeah, they have real people in the movie. They got a guy named Paris, and I forgot his real name. But he in the movie, he can walk in real life, but in the movie, he has a wheelchair. And I'm surprised at some of the performances that they get out of. Now, when this brother got to reach deep to get real emotional, it's not working 100%.
Sure, but by the end, when they show you the people who are actually Fletcher Street Cowboys, you're like, wow, they really came off as a quasi... you know, somewhere between actors and real people. They did a good job, and it added some authenticity to it. And I appreciated that.
Well, I did not know that he was – I thought he was just an actor. Yeah. So I had no idea. I thought he did a great job.
Yeah.
I think he had some of the better scenes in the movie. He's he acts as the father to Caleb when Idris Elba's like, well, I'm going to leave for 45 minutes.
Yeah, someone's they were like, well, yeah. Okay, so Idris isn't going to be back till next week. Can you just do some of his lines?
This?
Yeah. They both had a great rapport.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, old and younger, who are in there. And they seem like really, again, they seem
even
very
the love
natural.
Interest. She was an actual cowboy.
Sure was. Mm. Yeah, they have a love interest in the movie. I'll see if I can find a picture of her. I thought for sure when I saw her, I thought that she was an actress. Let me see if I can find. Yeah. I don't know her name, but you know, beautiful girl, man, and very natural in front of the camera. And they interviewed her after the movie, and turns out, yeah, she's a Fletcher Street writer. Wow. It reminded me of another movie. Now, this is not as good, but it reminded me of a movie that I really liked, did something very similar, dealing with nomadic people and brought some of those people from that lifestyle, real people from the lifestyle, into the film.
You are one of those lucky people that can travel anywhere.
Yes, ma'am.
And they sometimes call you nomads.
This is Nomad Land with
Frances McDormand.
That's up for an Academy Award, I think. You know, people are chatting about it that way. Don't think they'll do the same thing with this movie, but I did appreciate that. And also, I love it that when they talk about keeping the history alive, you realize, man, again, just how much they say whitewashed, you can say erased, but they talk about how cowboys were very prominent back in the day. You know, some history says that, you know, one in every four cowboys were black. Some, you know, if you listen to one of the characters in the movie, they say 50% of cowboys out there were black. And what they've done is they've erased it from history because you don't hear about today. And they did what they did with things like rock and roll and a few other things. They erased the history. It's taken away from us and then used by somebody else. And then they make us hate it. You know, we look at Westerns, we look at country music, and it's like, oh, that's corny. Oh, that's white. That's redneck. That's almost racist. But black cowboys were very prominent. There's a fascinating discussion that they have in there, and again, with some of these real writers, about how they've just been taken out, even talking about how the term cowboy is even somewhat racist because that's what they used to call them, boy.
Sure.
Cowboy.
Sure, sure. Even the whole thing they say about the Lone Ranger, that was cool. That was true, which it gets brought up in the Watchmen miniseries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they brought up Bass Reeves, I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's like during those scenes that I really like, but it's just when the more tropish nature just gets in front of it. And that's the thing. It's like, I want to hear more about that part of the story.
By the end of the movie, especially the post-credit scenes, you realize like, oh, this is really about these cowboys and the history of the black cowboys. It's just that it's put into what I say is a kit. It's like, yeah, we really want to talk about this, but we have a indie movie kit. So we'll just fold it into that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much of this that I saw previously from a movie from last year called Bull with Rob Morgan. And I was like, wow, this has a lot.
I saw Bull.
Yeah. And I was like, this has a lot of similarities to Bull. It's just expanded with more named stars. And it's got more story to it. But essentially, they're kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you going to say something?
Oh, no. I was going to say, I haven't seen Bull, but like... I was the whole time watching this. I was just thinking, Boys in the Hood with horses.
Yeah,
because it's like I'm gonna drop you off with your pops, and he's gonna help you grow up. But really, the streets are gonna teach you how to grow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and they try to not be as, because it comes across as like, all right, here we go, some more damn, you know, street shit, struggle shit, you know, this is how, you know, we are being shown and what Hollywood or cinema considers to be our element.
It's almost like it's a Lee Daniels thing. Lee Daniels, he's producing this, he's able to get a quality production going but so many of his productions lean on so many tropes. It's almost like he's dealing with I know my audience, they like these familiar beats, and this is what I'm going to give them.
So is he like serious Tyler Perry?
Yes. Oh, wow. Wow.
You showed me serious Tyler Perry, and that's a whole other level.
Yeah, that is the biggest comedy when we see serious Tyler Perry.
It really is. When we see serious, Tyler Perry, that shit's insane.
But he's like a serious Tyler Perry who doesn't do a shoddy production.
Yeah, fair enough. There you go.
Yeah. I agree. It's kind of cool. Look, y'all, you know, Hollywood has a hard time trying to bring this onto film, the history of black cowboys. It's hardly ever worked. Mario Van Peebles was a cowboy where he wore suspenders that covered his nipples and shit.
Because Mario's got to look good.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got to be cool.
Exactly. And then, you know, you have, you know, they exaggerated to a point where it's just ridiculous. Test your chest, loveless. Can't stand the heat to get out the wild.
Are you a dangerous spy or just a handsome cowboy?
You're just a ridiculous motherfucker, is what you are. You know,
how dare you bring that into the conversation?
Well, I had to show you, like, this is why I appreciate it, because Hollywood has a certain way of bringing black cowboys onto film, man. They do it in the most silly way that they can. Like, I do it a lot of things.
I thought you were going to show this other film.
It's almost like
Django.
That's
what you were
going
to show.
It's like they're going, oh, black cowboys, that's so silly.
Yeah.
We got to sell some Burger King.
Who ever heard of black cowboys? Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, you're right. Are they do it with Django, where, you know, they exaggerate, which is cool. I understand entertainment, but, you know, like walking into this and being kind of educated, and especially not to go back in time to do it, showing it in a contemporary setting. This has some problems, but I will tell you, I really do appreciate some of the things. And I don't know if you guys don't appreciate as much as I do from what I've heard, because I really did like Idris Elba in this. Because I like Idris Elba was just being, he's like, look, I'm not going to sit up here and cry over your ass, you know.
I liked him the little bit he was in it, but he's not in it that much. And really, for the father-son thing, they needed more interaction between the two of them.
Yeah, that didn't bother me, because I thought, for one, it was Cole's story, the son, at first. I thought it's his story, followed by the Fletcher Street Riders, and then he came in that order. So I didn't mind that. I liked him in it, but I can understand people going to watch this as an Idris Elba movie. You ain't getting Idris Elba, then that's going to be a problem for you. Method Man is impressing me as being a better.
Yeah, he's good.
He did a really good job. He's kind of like the in-between, where he knows what's going to happen, but he's still a part of that community. But it's just like, what am I going to do?
You know, yeah, bringing him up reminds me of like a problem I had with the movie, is that it's like Rent, where you got the guy who's really talking sense, but they treat him like, man, you the problem. You a sellout. You sold us out. And he's like, I want to help you guys, but you got dead horses in here. Like, if you could just bury that horse, like, maybe I could do something. Nah, man, you fucked us over. Yeah. It's like, that's not me.
Y'all are literally beating a dead horse. Yeah.
You know, on that point, I just wanted to, so, I mean, they show this entire culture and this specific incident right here based on a true story. But it's like, you know, because the reason why certain people come in and say, like, these animals are supposedly being abused. Mm-hmm. And we don't really see that.
Yeah.
And my whole thing is like, okay, are you kind of fudging history to show, like, these animals weren't actually, you know, they were malnourished, but you don't want to show them the movie? And so, because usually there's always a little gray in between. There's a little truth between both sides. And so
I was reading about this, and that's not the case.
Okay. You know, I was just curious. Because actually, like, there's a dead animal, like, right in the middle of the thing.
Because what they present is like, well, okay, these people don't have a lot of money, so they aren't really taking care of things, and they can't bury a dead horse.
Yeah.
So it makes you think, all right, if they can't afford, they can barely afford rent or all these things, maybe they can't afford to feed the animals like they should. I mean, if you read something different, that's fine. I'm just saying what the movie came across as to me.
I read that they surprisingly take care of the animals. That's why they even get them, because somebody would destroy these animals if they're not taking them out there.
Which they mentioned in the movie. I was just curious.
They do. Yeah. No, they actually, I think they take care of them as much as they can, at least. Yeah. And these animals aren't really suffering. you know, but I agree with you. It was like, that's what I was saying earlier. It was like, you got a fucking horse in your house.
Mm-hmm. You got a horse in the city.
Is that legal? Yeah. I don't think that's legal.
It's funny, it's like, we're fighting to preserve the tradition and culture, but it's like, yeah, but that only goes so far. Like, the world does move on. And it's like we're fighting to preserve old-time radio shows. It's like, I get that, but that's not a thing.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the horses. It's like, I mean, everybody in this story is apparently got their thing going on. But, like, I was sitting there like, man, these horses are, like, in the middle of the city. Like, they can't just run out and do their thing. And, like, they're being kept in living rooms and shit. So, it's like.
Well, actually, they have they try to bring them out in the fields and whatnot.
But you say try. They bring them out there, but where they bring them right back afterwards.
You know, I don't know. Apparently, they take them riding. They have open areas that they take these horses to. So, I'm just telling what I heard. Now, I ain't going to be surprised one day I hear all these horses and, you know, got diseases.
They have mange.
It turns out to be some Tiger King shit.
Yeah, exactly. These horses are turning to zombies and shit. You know, I don't know, man. As far as the movie goes, man, I think I'm probably going to come across as liking this movie better than you guys, because by the end of it, when it started out, I was not a huge fan. But by the end of it, I was enjoying it a lot more. Like I said, because it just held my interest what this community is doing. I'm looking for a picture here of the director.
People. Oh,
or what's that?
I was gonna say the actual people. Like
I put some of the people up there, but I have a, because the director is interesting. Because a lot of people are talking about this movie in a favorable way. This movie's, you know, it's not. I don't think it's gonna be getting any kind of awards or anything.
Getting solid reviews though.
But it's good. Yeah, is it? I don't. Yeah. What is it? How's it doing?
No, people are praising a number of the performances, particularly Caleb McLaughlin. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
They're saying he's not just Lucas from Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. Like, he can hold himself.
Yeah, I can say. Yeah,
hold the scenes with someone like Idris Elba.
That was him.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's actually good. He's actually really good in the movie, I thought. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you said, you know, to a point that he was unrecognizable in a way. Mm-hmm. He's definitely got some range on him.
It's funny that he's still wearing those shorts with little socks and shoes.
We have to maintain that aesthetic, though.
Yeah. You got my youth as long as I
got know my brand.
Still dressing like Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, looking like a kid from the '80s. You know.
Well, Netflix is saying now that you can't age too much. People still got to see his character.
It's a Netflix movie. Maybe they just put his ass over the other set. Yeah. Oh my God, they were done. You ain't got to change.
Too much. Horses.
Oh, yeah. You can keep them striped socks on. The director here, Ricky Straub, is a white guy, and nobody's really making that a big deal or anything. I think because, you know, today we're talking about who should tell what stories, but nobody was really making a film about this, I don't think, and he brought it up. And, you know, it's something where you can see that anybody can go in and direct anything, really, if they want to, but, you know, there is a certain level of respect and attention and screen time you got to give, and there's a certain approach you have to take if you're coming from another, I don't know, race, culture, whatever, when you do this. Because I thought he did pretty well. Like I said, now, if Spike Lee had been trying to make this shit for 10 years and then this guy walked in one day and within 5 minutes got it, then yeah, there's a problem right there. But I don't think anybody was trying to pitch a movie about this. Maybe they were. And Lee Daniels is the producer here. Mm-hmm. So, you know. Anyway, matinee for me. I liked it.
Okay. Well, I thought I was going to be on the same page with you because I did enjoy the movie. I mean, I think it has numerous problems, as we've brought up. But for the most part, I wasn't bored with it. And I watched it to the end and enjoyed it, you know, to a certain level. But there was that, like, yeah, this is too overly familiar. And it wants to tell a story about these Fletcher Street riders, and yet it's going into all these other things that it feels like it has to, that we've seen so many times before. But I felt like, okay, on Netflix, this is the home for it, and it's a rental.
Yeah. I think everything this movie is admirably done. It's solid. The performances, I do think Caleb McLaughlin probably looks the best in this. Like, he carries himself very well, even with scenes like with Idris Elba when he's in the movie. But the thing that kind of gets in the way of this culture of these riders is just the tropish nature of the movie, whether it's the, you know, the quintessential 90s hood film, or it's the, you know, animal therapy film. It's like you see both of these in the front and center, and it's a little frustrating, but it's not a bad movie in any capacity. I was entertained by it, surprised by someone like Method Man, who really held his own. I actually liked to see more of him in the film because I thought he did a good job. He's an interesting character. But yeah, it's right, as you said, Martin, it's right at home on Netflix. I would give it a high rental.
All right.
You like the Wild West out here. I woke up to the morning sky first.
Baby blue, just like we rehearsed. I know you.